From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show.
You know what sucks? Waiting. Life is just too short to be waiting and waiting. If you're an Android developer and you need to run lint checks, unit tests, UI tests, check to see that the build doesn't fail because of a commit that you made, after every single commit, just think about it. You could run it on your local and then wait. But as we have established, waiting sucks. Well, Microsoft has a service called App Center that they'd like to promote and help us in this waiting problem. The whole point of using App Center is to automate my Android development lifecycle. So what does this mean? That means every time I commit my code to GitHub, I can just power on with my next feature, you know, go live my life, breaking things occasionally. And App Center will make sure that I, you know, don't go too crazy. In the background, it pulls the code from GitHub, runs the Gradle build, runs my unit tests, runs the UI tests, does this all without having to make me wait on my local machine. But App Center does more, though. It's a fully modular suite of services, so you can pick and choose the service that you need, and you can connect it to the tools that you already use. They have crash reporting, analytics, push services, a test device lab of their own, and you can selectively pick just the ones that you want. I particularly like the test device lab. They have some of the most common Android devices that you'll find in the market. So, you know, the Samsung devices that we all know are pretty prevalent and need to test our apps on but don't like to own personally. Well, they have the Samsung devices up there. It's exactly what you would expect. They run screenshots on every test. It's amazing. If you're looking for a CI service, I highly, highly recommend them. You'll get a host of other services to boot along with it. And the best way to do it is to just try. Head on over to appcenter.ms. My thanks again to Microsoft and to App Center for sponsoring today's show.
Today on the Fragmented Podcast, we're going to talk about the Kotlin type alias keyword, what it is, why you might want to use it, and how you can use it in various different scenarios. I hope you enjoy. One of the great things about being an Android developer is the new introduction of the Kotlin programming language and its full support inside of the Android ecosystem. Kaushik has done a bunch of these fragments on the various language features that Kotlin has and will continue to go down this path as time progresses. And so I figured I'd take some time to talk about one of my favorite Kotlin, you know, specific language features, and that is type alias. That's a keyword, type alias. Now, for those that aren't familiar with the type alias, you probably wouldn't think to go look it up, as it's not really something that you probably think about all the time. And all it really is a type alias is a way to provide an alternate name for an existing type. Now, let's consider the fact that maybe you work in a company, and this is the example. You work in a company, and you have a customer object, and you have maybe a jar that was built by another team. And or maybe it's been built years ago, but it has a bunch of logic in it that you still use, has some types in it that you still use. And one of those types is called customer. Now, for whatever reason, there's no need to update that jar. Maybe that's a third-party jar you can't update, whatever. But it's just there and you have to use it. Has a type called customer that you also have to use. And inside of your application, you also have a type called customer. Now, what you've probably done if you have to use both of those types inside of your class, you've probably decided, all right, well, I'm going to have to fully qualify one of them as, you know, org.example. You know, customer. That might be your old one, and your new one is, you know, com.mycompany.customer. And one of those is fully qualified, so you can use them both inside of your application. And it's kind of ugly inside of your code base. Well, the type alias keyword allows you to shorten these kind of these long names, and you actually set it equal to a different name. So let's say the old version, we're going to call that the legacy customer. So all you do is type it out and say type alias, and that's just one word. You put it all, it's two words, but you put it together into one, actually, you know, one word itself. So it's T-Y-P-E-A-L-I-A-S, type alias. Then you specify the type name that you'd like to use. And so I'm going to use legacy customer. I'm going to use capital L for legacy, and of course the, you know, Pascal case, capital C for customer. And I'll set that equal to the type that I want it to be equal to, and that may be the customer, the legacy customer that's in my org.example package. And now I have the legacy customer, and then I can use my existing customer class as my new one. So now inside of my application, I might say new legacy customer, and I'm going to build that legacy customer. And this type alias allows me to provide an alternate name for that existing type. So that's very, very useful. That's one key example that you can use it with if you have multiple names. Another one is this, let's say for whatever reason, you needed to create a map of something. And this map, of course, maps, like mutable maps, hold keys and they hold values. And maybe for whatever reason, this mutable map has a key that's going to be of type K, but you want the value to be like a mutable list of some certain type. And let's use the customer example again. So we want to say a mutable map of keys, and this value is going to be a mutable list of customers. Now, you may actually use this mutable map as a way to have a map of different types of customers. This would be your basic customers, your gold customers, and your platinum customers would be in this mutable map. Now, anytime you want to use this map, of course, you're going to have to type this long thing out. Mutable map of K, comma, mutable list of, you know, customer. It's a lot of typing. It's very verbose. We could use type alias here as well. And so we could say, all right, well, I already know that my mutable map is, I'm going to have a key that's going to be of type K. I don't know what type that's going to be yet, but I know that the value is a mutable list of customers. So the only thing that's really still a type that I don't know yet is the K value. And so I can say type alias, and I can give it my own type name. I could say customer table, you know, and what this would do is, or I could say customer map, whatever I wanted to call it. And I say of type K, and that would be of the key. And so then at that point in time, I have my own type alias, and that's actually just a mutable map. It has all the same functions. Again, I'm just giving a shortened generic type name. That's all I'm really doing. I'm just giving a shortened generic type name that I can use inside of my application. So these are, again, very, very useful. You can also apply type aliases for function types as well. So if you want to get into a little bit of that, you can check out the documentation so you can use for function types. You can also create new names for inner classes and nested classes. So let's take, for example, you have perhaps you call it a position class, right? And this is, for whatever reason, you need to position something to the left or to the right or to the top or to the bottom. Now, you have a position class, and inside that you have an inner class or four inner classes. So the outer class is called position. The inner classes would be left, right, top, and bottom. Now, normally what you'd have to do is say, all right, if I want to use the right class, it's a position.right. If I want to use the left class, position.left, and the same for the bottom, position.bottom, and so forth. Now, I can actually use a type alias to that and say, I could say, hey, type alias top equals position.top. And now I can just use the word top anywhere as a type, and it's actually going to be of the type position.top. The same goes for the left and the right. I could type alias those as well. So I'd say type alias left equals position.left. And now I can just use the word left as what I would normally be using as position.left. So again, it's important to note that type aliases do not introduce new types. They're equivalent to basically their underlying type that we're specifying. So if I'm using position.left and I just call it left, I'm not introducing a brand new type. They're equivalent to that corresponding underlying type, which would be position.left. Now, a lot of these things that you can create some pretty cool, almost like miniature domain specific type of languages, and you can really shorten up your code a lot. And we talked a little bit about this inside of the recent Aero podcast with the Aero team. That's the Aero Kotlin team. And during one point in the conversation, somebody mentioned, you know, you can actually take and use Kotlin's type aliasing, which is what we're talking about today, and use it for types that you would normally have as just basic primitives. So what I mean by this is, let's say you have a function and you want to see the function is just calculates if someone is older or, you know, is older. And it's just going to calculate if one customer is older than the other customer for whatever reason. Now, normally you'd pass an integer into that function and you'd say int age or whatever age integer for Kotlin. This is all very common stuff. But if you want to be more functional, we would maybe want to actually type alias that and type alias the integer to a name of age. So we say type alias age equals int. Now at this point, I can use the age as I would use an int. I could say create a brand new variable or a val, say val age, and I could say colon and then capital AGE equals 42 or whatever, you know, or equals 24. And at that point in time, I now have an age type, which looks like an age type. It's, again, just the same as its underlying type, which is an integer, 42. And then if I'm actually reading my application, so if maybe I have multiple age parameters and I want to pass in two or three age parameters and get the average of them, I can actually type in three different ages and I can read that and it reads very cleanly inside of my application. So I have the function, which may be, you know, average ages, and I pass in these three ages inside of there. And then I can actually see, you know, age, and it's not some random integer that's passed in there. Now, again, Kotlin does help you, and so do a lot of the tools, by if you're providing your proper names for your arguments. A lot of the stuff isn't probably too needed, but it's just an example of how you can use type alias to help clean up your code. So to recap, a type alias is a way to provide alternate names for your existing types. You're not introducing a new type. They're equivalent to their corresponding underlying type. So if you're going to provide a type alias for position.left and you call it left, that left is really just the corresponding position.left. If you're going to call it age and it's an integer, it's actually just an integer. It just makes your application a little bit easier to read and makes it a lot better. Now, as the documentation states here, Kotlin compiler will always expand certain things for you. So it's not like you have to worry about what's happening under the hood. The Kotlin compiler will handle everything for you, just as it does with all the other Kotlin goodies inside of there. So if you're interested, we'll add a link to the show notes here and to the Kotlin language. This is again for version 1.1 and above for the type aliases, and hope you enjoyed.
Before we wind the show down, I want to take a quick moment and thank Microsoft again for sponsoring today's show. They want to promote App Center. App Center is a continuous integration, delivery, and feedback service for your Android apps. You should check them out if you're looking for a CI solution or a UI testing solution. Head on over to appcenter.ms and spend less time managing your app lifecycle and more time coding. Because in the end, that's what makes us all happy. Thanks again for sponsoring today's show, Microsoft.
That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmented.com. Podcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.